Now, of course, there are lots of people who I don't like. I am forced to smile through it. Well, I'm forced by the BBC to be nice to everybody on this show. But actually, I do like Sarah Willingham. I really do. I'm a big fan of Dragon's Den, and I like her. And she's on the programme today. Good morning to you.
Oh, good morning. What a lovely introduction. And honestly, I could sit and talk to you all day. Your lovely voice.
Where have you been? Why are you not on my show anymore, Dragon's Den?
It's so upsetting.
Did you get kicked out or did you want to stay or what?
Do you know what it was? There's nothing as dramatic as that. And I'd be very happy to say if I was kicked out. But do you know what? I took my kids travelling around the world for a year, which is, I suppose, quite dramatic and exciting.
Yeah.
And yeah, I took them off. And when they were filming, I was in Australia. And I was like, you know what? I'm not going to take the plane back to Manchester.
Fair enough.
Months. So I did, you know, I did have the year of my life. It was absolutely amazing. But I do sit and watch the show and think, oh, I wish I was still there.
If you don't mind me asking, how old are the kids?
They are 6 now. They are 6, 7, 9 and 11.
So that's a big thing to do, Sarah, isn't it? To take them out of school. And around the world. What an amazing experience for them. But lots of parents might not do it because they might worry about the what-ifs around it.
Do you know what? I don't think it's one of those things that anybody is ever going to regret. But to make it happen, it's like climbing Everest. It was so epic to just get it off the ground. It took us 2.5 years to get ourselves into a position where we could do it, where we could actually do it. But, you know, there's a lot of research that says you spend 90% of your time with your children under the age of 12. And I just thought to myself, you know, well, we did, me and Michael, we've just got to bottle this moment. You know, this is it. And also, we're at that point in their education where Minnie, who's the oldest, she's not yet into that GCSE syllabus or anything like that at all. And Marley, the youngest, he could ride a bike, he could swim, you know, climb a mountain, the basic stuff, not a very steep mountain, but a hill. You know, he could do some basic stuff. So this was our window, basically. And so, we thought, if we don't do it now, we're never going to do it.
So I'm not going to talk to you throughout the duration of this interview about your kids, because they're entitled to their own space. But it's an interesting talking point in that quite a few other parents might have been worried about losing a year's schooling. Now, I'm a big fan of travel. I think you learn so much about the world when you travel. But why didn't you worry about, you know, your kids falling behind by a year?
I mean, I could talk to you all day about this topic. As you can imagine, it's something I'm really passionate about. But, you know, fall behind in what? Like, you know, when you think about a five-year-old, really, the stuff that they have learned as we've travelled. I mean, you know, we're going to come on and talk about kids and doing, you know, businesses and budgeting. My kids operated a daily budget for a whole year in different currencies. They understood the value of money, that what does £5 buy you in Canada versus £5 in Indonesia? You know, the lessons that they learnt about the environment, animal protection, marine life, the different people that they talked to. You know, we lived on villages with families that had less than a dollar a day, living underneath a mosquito net on a tatami mat, you know, on a straw mat on a beach. You know, the stuff that they've
there.
Done. We lived there. We stayed there for a few weeks. And, you know, they're living like that. And we ate what we caught on those days.
So this wasn't a multimillionaire on a year of luxury on her millionaire yacht and big luxurious hotels, no?
No, I mean, of course there was some luxury in it. We didn't do the big luxury yacht, no, but
why not? If I had your money, I would.
But we actually, what we did was we did what was appropriate in the country that we were in, if that makes sense. So yeah. There were countries, you know, when we spent quite a lot of time in the Philippines, for example, and that's where we lived with the islanders.
Okay.
But when we were in Australia, the kids went to school actually in Australia in Byron Bay, and that was great.
Wow. And they made friends quickly, did they?
They made great friends. You know, and
see, what an experience for a child to... And I'm going to talk to you about business in a second. But what an experience for a child to make friends with people on the other side of the world.
Just,
it's amazing.
It's so awesome. And yeah, things like the other day we were in the garden and Monty, my number two son, there was a big spider there. No, it wasn't the garden, actually. It was in the kitchen. Massive spider. And Monty just goes straight up to it and picks it up, takes it out to the garden and puts it down. You know, this, because he went to bush camp while he was at school in Australia, and they had the poisonous frogs, they had poisonous spiders, they had massive leeches on their legs that he just pulled them off. Mm-hmm. And it's become his comfort zone. So when he sees bugs and things that we would naturally go, you know, get away from me.
How did you handle those? How did you handle those?
Well, I did see some absolutely gigantic spiders. And I mean, you don't want to be the mum that freaks out because your kids are not freaking out.
Listen, so Sarah, here's a story about my 77-year-old mother. This literally happened 4 nights ago. I was in her house. A true story, this. My mother's a character. She's like something out of Coronation Street, Freya Duckworth. And I was in the house and we had seen this big, massive spider in the house. And I'm terrified of those things. So she screamed to me all of a sudden that it had run up my trousers. And I pulled my trousers off in front of my mother in her living room trying to find this. And I was convinced the spider had then got up underneath my pants. Crazy. 4 nights ago. Right, listen, we need to talk to you about business.
We digress, yes.
We do. You're so easy to talk to, and I'm not being sycophantic. I wish I had longer to do so. The context, by the way, so that you know, is that I've got a company that makes programmes for the BBC, and one of the programmes that I make is a programme called Made in Northern Ireland, where we go out into the locality, so the really local areas, people in their back sheds, and we find business ideas that they have had the courage to get outside of their head and to go for it. And I so admire those people,
that's
as
awesome.
No doubt so you do too.
Oh, that's brilliant. That is great to be able to... you must see some absolutely amazing people, meet some amazing people.
I do. But what's amazing... Sometimes the products are amazing, sometimes not. But what is absolutely extraordinary is the courage that it... Because people will laugh at you if you try something. I just admire the courage that it takes to go for it.
Yeah, not all the businesses will work and not all the products will be great, but one thing that will be consistent is the people will be great.
Big time. Success in business, so therefore, and young people in business, what are the secret ingredients?
Well, it's interesting because the research that we're talking about today, which was carried out by Xero, that do the accounting software for small businesses, is looking at how young does it start, really? So how young can we really start talking to our kids about cash flow management? And it's saying that kidrepreneurs, which is definitely a new word, is on the rise, with a third of UK kids wanting to have their own business when they grow up. Now, I think this is an amazing statistic. This is our future. And it's become cool to have a business, to be in business, to want to have a business. It's become a really cool thing to do. And actually, one of the biggest reasons, as we all know, because we've all watched different shows like Dragon's Den or The Apprentice or whatever, one of the biggest reasons why small businesses fail in the early years is cash flow management. So it's saying, OK, if we've got a third of kids that want to become entrepreneurs, how can we help them early on to understand more about this principle that we talk about of cash flow management, so that actually we help them when they do go on to have businesses? And I think when we talk about cash flow management, we think, oh God, what on earth?
Yeah, I'm nearly falling asleep.
What exactly? Yawn, I've glazed over, I can't listen to another word you're saying. But it's so basic when you think, I need £20, I've got five, and I earn £5 a week. But, my mum charges me £1 a week to live in the house. So how long will it take me to have my 20 quid? That is cash flow management. That's it. So people who run households, mums and dads who run households, they are running a cash flow. It is literally as simple as how much money have you got coming in, how much money have you got going out.
Have you come across any young people that have got really good ideas making them happen?
I mean, actually, I've spent a lot of time in schools trying to encourage schools working with the government to teach kids about financial management rather than entrepreneurship. So I've spent a lot of time with kids who are desperate to understand more about the mechanics of business and how that works. But we've had a couple of kids that have come into the den that have been, I think the youngest guy ever to have got investment was the Boot Buddy guy. Was it Arminder from last year, I think? He got investment from, I think, Deborah, Tuka and Peter. Great. You know, what was really interesting about him, and I think this is a real lesson for all of us, is his mom was solid. I mean, she's great lady.
Yeah.
And she'd had a fish and chip shop and she'd done very well. So she was an entrepreneur.
I saw this episode.
Did you?
Yeah.
And I do think that's a lesson for us all, is that, you know, if we're not providing that education in school, which we're not at the moment, as parents, we need to help our kids as much as possible. And I think that's one of the issues, is we think, oh, I don't understand it, so I can't help my kids. But actually, it is really basic.
Tell me this about the den. The competitiveness between the dragons is part of the TV format, right? It's part of the show's format. The format originated in Japan.
Yeah.
Is it real, though?
Oh,
honestly, is it real?
Really real.
Because it never actually gets really nasty, which makes me wonder if it's real, because business people can get nasty when money's involved.
I think in the past it has, actually. I think there were times when there was a lineup of enormous egos, you know, and there have been times when it has got quite nasty in the den, I think.
Like, did you ever fall out with anyone in there for real?
No, I mean...
Why not?
Do you know what? It's genuinely not really my nature. It's, I'm much more collaborative. But it was a shock to my system, to be completely honest. When I first arrived, I just totally naively had not considered that element of the den. I just hadn't thought about the fact that once we decide, once the penny drops that we're talking to a really good business, that of course then you have to sell yourself. You know, I have to sell myself, and I am competing with another four really great, very competent people.
And are there any businesses you invested in that are doing really well?
Oh, the Craft Gin Club that I invested in last year is rocketing. I think it could be one of the most successful businesses that will ever come out of the den. It's doing so well.
And how much time, guess it varies per dragon, do you actually put in when the cameras are switched off?
It does vary per dragon. So I can only talk about how much time I put in. But I don't have an enormous team around me. This is what I do now. I invest in small businesses and have done that for years. And only take minority stakes. So because I don't have my own business anymore, because I've got my kids, and I've got lots of little investments, I don't have an enormous team. So when I invest, they get me. You know, I am totally committed, see them pretty much at least once a month, speak to them quite regularly, we email every week, you know, so I get very involved. But I'm not at the point where, you know, I don't have 40 investments. I have 10. Yeah, so it's manageable for me, and I wouldn't want it to get that much bigger.
Although your money's made, you don't need to worry about money ever again. So why are you hungry for those businesses to work?
Oh, you know, you're never hungry for the businesses to work for money, I don't think. It's about making something work, actually, and working with great entrepreneurs and great people and helping them, you know, as they walk towards an enormous hole going, whoa, hang on, that's an enormous hole that I've fallen into, you know, five times, or I've seen people fall into all the time.
Yeah.
Stop and walk around it And that's, you know, there's a, of course, not everything works. Because not everything is a big success.
We're nearly done here. So don't fall out with me when I start talking about your money. But it's reported that you're worth about 12 million. Is that right? And once you get to that stage, do you not just think to yourself, right, well, I don't care about money anymore. I don't need to care.
Yeah, but I don't think that's what I said. I just don't think it's, you know, when I decided to become an entrepreneur, I did it because, you know, I was in my 20s, had the end of my 20s, had an amazing life. Like, I loved my job. I used to run the international department for Pizza Express, travelling all over the world, opening restaurants. I couldn't have been happier, honestly. But then I thought, well, I want to have kids, really want to have kids. This life is not going to work. And so that's why I became an entrepreneur. It wasn't because I thought, oh, I'm going to make loads of money becoming an entrepreneur. I wanted to become an entrepreneur so that I could decide what I was doing on a Monday morning. And in fact, one of the reasons why I sold all of my businesses is because I had 1,500 staff and I had two kids and I wanted to have more. And I thought, I can't have 1,500 staff that rely on me getting up in the morning and loads of kids. So I've made all of my decisions have been made for very personal reasons. And I think that's that. I think you'd be surprised, the more entrepreneurs you talk to, the more you'll find that actually make the decisions for very personal reasons. I think money doesn't come in, doesn't. I mean, it's not that it doesn't come into it, but I don't think it's the driver.
Sarah Willingham, I want you to remember my name. My name is Stephen. The reason I want you to remember it is I have so much more I want to talk. I want to learn about how you did your bit. Well, I haven't gotten into your businesses yet and your ethical codes in business and all of that. I know I'm out of time now, but I want to talk to you again.
Oh, I'd love to talk to you again. Love to talk to you again.
Thanks very much, Sarah. All the best.
Thank you. Bye.